Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Forward. It's the one move we're all ready to take. And at the Audi Moving Forward sales event, we're ready to help you on that journey. All Audi dealerships are now open. With tailored solutions to suit your individual needs, like the Audi A6 Saloon, with PCP finance from only €499 per month. Now is the time to make an appointment. Now is the time to start moving forward. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Glass of Wine, where we drink wine and complain. My name is Gina Schwartz, joined to you by my two other hosts. We have the magnificent
Andy Schossler, hello.
It's true, he's back. And we have the sensational
Zancy Webber, we're joined to you.
Like, that's what I said.
We are joined to you, and it's a welcome back.
Like surgically?
Like we've been on break.
Surgically soon, that's what the world will be.
Where is this coming from? This is starting out in a very weird place. I wasn't ready.
I was laughing before I started.
I know.
So I had to ride the wave.
All right. Okay.
It's like you started your sentence like three or four words in.
I know. But we are joined by the beautiful and talented
Jen Tree.
It's true.
Hi, Jen.
I just want to say I'm not surgically attached to anyone.
I mean, I think maybe our audience is sophisticated enough to realize that it was a misspeak.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tend to do that a lot, though.
Yeah.
I tend to like
it's put on brand.
Words and phrases together that don't go together, but in my mind, I'm like, it's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
Jen, what
People
do you do?
Will roll with it.
It'll yeah. Be I mean, be you fun. Guys do. Jen, what do you do? What are you about?
I do the art. I teach at a sip and paint studio, so I tell drunk people how to paint.
Oh, lovely. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. So usually I'm not the one drinking the wine. Usually I'm the one ushering the wine towards the stressed painters.
Very good.
So, yeah, I do that and I do other obnoxious things like performing and the singing and the dancing.
And the singing and the dancing.
And the animating and the drawing, and I soon will have a claw for a hand. It's very great. Oh, yes.
In the works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, so how stressed do the painters get? Because isn't that like a fun thing to do with your friends?
Like, it absolutely is, right? So everybody turns up being like, oh, we get to do the thing, and then They turn up a little bit early so they can get seated and they can crack open their wine, and then I tell them to get some paint, and there's usually like a little bit of downtime before we actually like start. Mm. And that's where the existential dread like just kicks in, right? So then they stare at the painting they're about to do, and they stare at me, and they stare at each other, and they're like, oh, so we have to do that today. And I'm just like, where's your wine? Where is it? Just pick that up. Do you feel better? There we go.
Have another glass, babe.
Yeah, break that inhibition.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like also like people don't feel like they're very good creatives, and then they're being forced to be creative in a moment
in front of people.
Yes, right. So it's a bit of like performance anxiety.
Everyone's trying to see.
Yeah, and I'm just like, get drunk. You'll be great. It'll be fun.
Last week we were talking about art and about creative people. Or people who claim to be creative having misguided expectations of how good they are. You're saying that people don't go in, you know, thinking they're going to be the next Picasso or painting the Mona Lisa.
No, there's no drunk confidence. It's right. Me stroking egos left, right, and centre.
That would be me.
That's completely the other way around from what I would have expected.
But then at the same time, right, so they expect to not be good but then they are also kind of just like, how were you so good?
I see.
And I'm like, I literally, this is my job.
Yeah, yeah.
I do this 5 times a week minimum. Like,
you must have been born with it. You were born with it.
Yeah. So I'm just, yeah.
It's an innate quality that you just could do.
Yeah, just breathing and painting. It's all...
It's all the same.
Absolutely.
This week, as all the weeks, we are sponsored by Good Pair Days. Good Pair Days. And every time...
That was an octave up.
Thank you. Every time that I go to say Good Pair Days, there's a voice in the back of my head that goes, the wine gallery. And I'm like, no, push it down.
I don't want to criticize them, but I still think wine gallery is a classier name for what they are.
But it's not about us, Andy.
It's not.
Andrew.
Unfortunately.
Slap on the wrist.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm in the naughty corner now.
Sebastian.
Bring the Andrew out. Yeah.
I love that it's sung to the exact same tune though.
It
you
is.
You sort
it's
of caught me
be.
Off guard. Like I wasn't aware of the change. And I was like, oh, she's changed.
I gotta do what you gotta do for the people. Art.
The people want what the people want.
So this week we are drinking En Saison.
Yeah.
Oh,
c'est
ça. Well done.
Oh, c'est ça.
Baguette.
Baguette.
Yes, that was very French
Mom,
of you.
Yeah.
This is the moment where everyone just says bonjour, but then it just slowly becomes bonjour now.
So, of course, this wine is from France. Do we want to guess what year it was produced?
So it is a rosé.
Yeah, I should say that.
You say 1860?
Rosé.
1860, so close.
It's a bold Jen? Choice.
I love that my brain went, that's sarcasm, right? I was like, you said that so smart.
I mean, we very rarely drink wines over 100 years old.
Rarely. Only rarely. Once or twice.
Look, but she doesn't taste... fancy, but she doesn't taste cheap. So I'm gonna say like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say last year, 2018.
Okay, and Zane Weber.
Go 2017.
2016, 2018, 2017. For the first time, Zane Weber is correct.
All three of you are correct.
Just kidding, Zane Weber, you nailed it. 2017.
Oh, nice.
Have we had a little sip?
It's very light. It's very fruity.
It's very smooth. Mm.
It's not like it's not a particularly heavy wine. Like it doesn't feel very full. Mm. So yeah, it doesn't taste very old. But it's very
it's
pleasant.
Icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have any tasting notes, so everybody wins. What do we want to eat with this?
We actually won.
Like Jen just said, I want something sweet with this, like a cake or a meringue.
Oh, cake.
Maybe something a little bit. Tart, like a lemon meringue pie.
Oh, yeah. I'm about it. Yeah. Andy?
I'm actually thinking like a nice selection of cheeses or a charcuterie thing. Very anti-pesto, kind of nibbly.
Absolutely,
things.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel like having some, you know, deviled eggs and pickles with this just to offset that sweetness.
I'm not about deviled eggs, but pickles, you got me.
Pickles, I am listening.
What about pickled eggs?
Ooh.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
That makes me uncomfortable a little bit.
I don't. I'm off the egg train. As an adult, I'm not about eggs.
No, see, a nice boiled egg cut in half with some mayonnaise on top.
Hopped on that egg train, like fried eggs every goddamn day. Oh, a little bit runny. Girl.
Lovely.
Okay. Do it. Also, so much cheaper when you cook it yourself.
Some bold egg choices being made around the table.
Well onto your way to owning a house now.
Oh, absolutely. Screw avocados. Just buying eggs. Well, I mean, now all this egg talk. I kind of want like a really like a boozy brunch with this.
Okay.
Oh. Like,
this is good brunch wine.
I love
right,
brunch.
Right. So like a boozy brunch. So, you know, obnoxious sourdough, poached eggs with, you know, the say when cracked pepper lady. specifically she must be there or it's not made. Like not like a, you know how on breakfast menus it's like there's always some sort of like the big breakfast, but it's always very like English, like sausages and tomatoes.
I mean, we live in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like I want lots of ingredients, but not necessarily like heavy stuff, like spinach and
love
hash browns
and like maybe hash browns, avocado, obviously, because millennial. I just want like breakfast buffet.
So
with
like
with
a garnish breakfast, breakfast of garnish things.
I don't know. I just want lots of things: mushrooms, oh, bacon, mushrooms. Maybe some hollandaise. Just a bit of everything, but
I mean,
just
see,
like
apart
obnoxiously,
from sausages, that's a big breakfast.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Honestly, what? It kind of sounds like you just want eggs Benedict
with
some bacon,
extra, some extra stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm basic. What can I say?
What year were you born, Gentry?
I was born 1995.
Okay,
oh
so
my.
I found.
Oh my god!
I found out today that people born from 1995 onwards aren't millennials. They're apparently Gen Z.
We're this like weird pocket of we identify with both so much, but we're not a part of the one that we feel like we are.
Oh, right.
We're in the middle.
So what's a millennial in that case?
Millennial is 2000 onwards, isn't it?
No,
that's Gen Z.
82
oh god damn
to
it.
95.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
See, I mean, perfect example. I reversed it.
And that's
about.
The thing. The millennials that are born in the 80s kind of feel that they're more Gen X.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. What does it mean? Like, it means nothing.
Literally means nothing.
It means things.
It doesn't really, though.
It means like things that we do not understand.
Yeah. There are people who know that they're boomers, have been calling themselves boomers, that are totally woke and with everything that millennials, in inverted commas, believe. And then there are the millennials that are exactly what
like
you
me.
Think of Boomer.
As Eliza Schlesinger, I can't say her name.
That's
but as,
close.
As she, thank you. As she says, I'm an elder millennial.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm eating.
That's what, talk about putting your foot in both camps.
I'm like, I am everything.
I'm
as
eating
I drink my
a,
tacky risotto.
A block
it's
of
nice.
Parmesan. Cheese and pancakes.
Just straight.
Okay. So like a savoury pancake thing.
Because this is so sweet that I can't have sweet things with it apart from the pancakes. But so I want
savoury
cheese.
Pancakes are a thing.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I want cheese and some dough.
I have never been able to do savoury pancakes. They are forever associated with, you know, like honey or maple syrup or something sweet. But crepes, on the other hand, which is just thin pancakes, no, they can be savoury and I'm fine with it.
Well, can't you just literally make a basic crepe and then just what you put on it changes
if a fluffy pancake is not sweet, it tastes wrong to me. But a crepe can, you know, be drizzled in, you know, almond, honey, whatever, or like a mushroom sauce and be like a pasta thing. And it doesn't taste bizarre. But a savoury pancake, I can't
Isn't
get
that
over
a
that.
Pikelet? Like, I feel like I'm getting off topic
here. They're just smaller pancakes, surely.
See, why are there so many classifications of pancakes?
Because people want pancakes.
All right, where are we drinking this?
What, boozy brunch, I guess.
Yeah.
Zane?
I think this one is, for me, kind of a garden party that I don't really know many people at. So maybe like, not like a garden party, like a party in a beer garden. I don't really know many people and I'm just kind of like sitting, drinking this, waiting for someone I know to arrive.
Actually, I'm going to add on to that. So it's boozy brunch, but like at a hen's party where you don't know all the women and you're just trying to like be there for the bride. And then there's awkward toasts and stuff. And you're like, just shut up. I want to eat eggs and drink wine. I'm like,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
I'm thinking this is an achievement wine.
Oh.
This is something you can get away with having for brunch. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, you've decided you're going to do a spring clean. And so you tidy like three things. You look at the clock. It's 10:15. You woke up 2 hours ago and you think, yes, I deserve this.
Now, Andy,
you stick a couple of ice cubes in a glass.
Doesn't sound like an
achievement. I don't want to point out maybe a problematic behavior in your life, but you seem to reward yourself with wine quite often, or at least that's what you think. No, this wine is for when I've earned it.
I deserve it, Zane.
Okay, for me, I had the apartment to myself. I've been in a good mood for about a week. Like, not in an amazing mood, but a fairly good mood where nothing's gone wrong. knock on wood. And I've just, I've probably had a pretty good day. It's been a lazy day, but I've just gone to the gym. I've smashed out a workout. I've come home.
Sounds like you need an achievement wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've put on the aircon. I've just had a shower. I'm getting ready naked. I'm drinking this wine and I'm just about to head off to like some sort of party where, because I don't take Ubers often because I'm like, I'm not going to pay to fucking let someone drive my places. But it's one of those parties or events where I'm like, it's going to be a big, awesome night, so I'm going to have to pay to like get all there, right, because I'm definitely not fucking driving or taking public transport. So I'm there, I'm naked in the aircon, and I'm like, there's some Iggy Azalea going on in the background, and I'm drinking this wine, and I'm having a great time. That's yeah, where I'm at.
I would have this alone as well. Not with other people. This is a me wine.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Mm. I mean, yeah, this is something I go, oh, this boozy brunch wine is good. What's this? I'll buy some
for losers.
Achievement time at home.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, once again, we are sponsored by Good Pair Days. I didn't mention before that if you use our code Glass of Wine at the checkout, you get $25 off your first order.
Ooh,
it's a wine subscription service, so go on, do the quiz, have a great time. They usually send you 3 bottles of wine, but you can change that to however many you want. But if you add on that fourth bottle, my friends, you get free shipping, which is better than paid shipping. So
exponentially better. Infinitely better.
Be adventurous, do the thing, have fun.
I feel like you just tried to like sell me on capitalism. Just being like,
don't here,
be
here, silly. Here, finally.
Pay the things or don't pay them, whatever, the end.
Now we've had a little bit of wine. Jen,
wine, yes.
Do you want to unburden yourself with a wine?
I would love to.
Yeah, have a little complainy plaint.
I love it. I'm going to start with an opening statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
I'm
only,
not a racist, but.
And it's going to divide the audiences, but uteruses, am I right?
Tell me
about it.
Not even once.
So my gripe is it's Shark Week for me right now.
No.
Sharks are following you?
Absolutely. No, I'm eating sharks.
Well done.
No, my body is a angry shark. And actually,
I'm drawn to the water.
There's so much I need to unpack. No, but it's been Shark Week.
Yep.
And it's Cramp City as well. Just it's all bad. It's all bad time because my body is literally trying to kill itself from like the belly button down. And that's fine. But I find that it's like a really it's got a divisive sort of reaction to it. Because I tend to tap out of events or tap out of things to be like, hi, I'm having this issue and I'm just not able to go. And they're just a bit like, you're a pussy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, so I get a bit of that, or I get a bit of like people just not understanding it. But on top of that.
So are you resentful of your body or them?
So I'm resentful of people who just don't understand periods.
Okay.
Periods. Is this.
Period.
Only men or
no,
women?
No,
as
no,
no.
This is women as well because everybody has a different experience,
yeah, of
it. And then on top of that, endometriosis is horrible. I don't personally have it, but I have a couple of friends that do, and they're like literally in hospital or have had big periods of their life living in hospital.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
people
yeah.
are just like,
drama queens.
Girl, yeah, right? That's the response. They're just kind of like, she's just a little bitch. Right. Like, oh, it's just weird. But I then started talking to a bunch of people about various things to do with being a female with a uterus. And I encourage you all to ask your male friends like how they think different types of female products work, because it's fucking hilarious.
Really?
Guys.
What do you
okay.
mean?
Okay.
Okay, okay, no.
Here
please.
We go. Let's just.
Well, let'll test us right now.
Actually, well, Gina we pushes the bottle of wine to
Monte. Enlightened 20th. 21st?
I mean, I feel like century? I have a pretty good grasp on it.
That's
so
that's the thing. Some people haven't had a good grasp on it for like most of their lives.
I mean, I was the mum friend during high school.
Okay.
So
this is experience on your resume.
I feel, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know what job I'm applying for where I need
okay,
to
well,
know about feminine hygiene
for
products.
For example.
But tampons are like party poppers, right? You pull the string and it's party town.
Oh no.
You can actually
okay, so
I'll tell you a myth. You can actually orgasm from a tampon.
No.
Just kidding.
Of course, yeah.
Anyone who thinks that you're a dumb motherfucker.
See, this is the thing, right? This is what I mean. Find out these random tidbits that people think that that's how the products work, and it's actually hilarious.
But
so that, do
that's
you
definitely
think,
evangelical, right?
What?
So that's the like church communities who won't let girls use tampons, they have to use pads.
Because it'll break your hymen and you'll get too much pleasure from a fucking bit of cotton going up your vagina.
Yeah, because it'll be temptation.
Yeah, right?
You clearly haven't had the right kind of cotton juice.
You said, like, pull the party popper string. No, please tell me you don't think you pull the string for it to activate.
No.
Because some people do.
Really?
So it just kind of, like, explodes cotton up inside to absorb everything.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, and
so
it just feels like flowers and butterflies.
I don't want to hear this. I want to hear this. Gentlemen, shush.
Everybody wants to play tennis.
Oh, my God. It's a shuttlecock. So, like, it's quite thin. And the whole point is that it's thin for insertion and then it swells with...
It absorbs.
It absorbs. And
with
then,
liquid.
And then you need to take it out when it's... You know,
ready to go.
Ready to go. I don't know how to explain this in a nice way.
When it's prime.
It's reached its ripeness. But some people think you pop it up there and you pull to make it swell.
Expand.
Yeah.
So it's literally like sucking all of the...
Like a parachute, like releasing a parachute.
Yeah, I kind of get like intuitively, it's thin so you can insert it easily, and then you would sort of deploy it like a raft or something, so it would sort of swell up and fill the cavity so that it absolutely catches everything.
That's exactly how people think it works, and it's kind of hilarious when you're like, no,
What else have you?
And this
heard?
Is like
how
20 year
loose
old.
Do you think I am? Do you think I need to deploy a tampon?
Can you imagine? Hi guys, just gotta deploy a tampon. So that's hilarious.
Somebody has to introduce that terminology.
I'll do it single-handedly. I'll make it happen. Another one that's great is pads. They have wings or no wings.
All right.
And people don't know what that means.
Right.
To the point, and this was actually brought up by not somebody that I know, like a comedian, like a male comedian. And he said, like, maybe until he was like almost in his 30s, he thought that pads literally stuck on your body.
Oh my God.
And sealed up your vagina.
Like a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Okay. Like a Band-Aid. And like, oh my God.
That's so impractical.
It was, right? It was a giveaway for me when I heard very early on when I was learning about these things, pads were interchangeably called panty liners. In the States, and that kind of gave it away that okay, it's just a little thing you
but
stick
I guess that's
in
also
your
like
undies and
thongs versus flip flops terminology. But
I mean the giveaway is that it's not something that attaches to your body; it's something that rests inside.
But
your
also, there's a difference between pads and panty liners.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Right? So that's like a different style of them.
Well, like pads are like soaking that shit up, but a panty liner is if you're at the end of your period or if you have a tampon in but you've got a heavy flow or you just don't want to ruin your favorite pair of undies, you put a panty liner on to be like, I'm trying to save
you. This is
the
mattress that we land on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah.
In the event.
So it's like the shower cap equivalent of, the thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it definitely sticks to your underwear, not to you.
Yeah.
So this guy was saying that maybe for 30 years of his life,
holy
thought women
fuck.
Were literally... That's what it's so amazing to me. Thought they literally sticked it and sealed up their bodies.
Again, intuitively, it kind of makes sense.
Right?
That would be the way
but
it worked.
But this is the thing. No one asks anyone because it's still like a little bit
taboo.
Oh,
yeah, we can't talk. We
couldn't
You know
talk
what
about
gets
it.
Me about these products is that they're not allowed... They have to use blue liquid when advertising them. They're not allowed to use red liquid because... Ew, that they've looks kind of like blood a little bit, and that comes out of vagina.
Can I say that they've started, I can't remember who it was with, but some sort of...
I think it's Libra?
Yeah, they started a campaign, not using actual blood, but with red liquid.
Yeah.
And their campaign was basically, blood is a part of life, just fucking get used to it.
But then advertising standards kicked in, I believe. It was, I think it was around this campaign, and they could only play it after a certain time at night.
Which is ridiculous.
Those damn conservatives.
You know, it's not like I only bleed after a certain time at night.
Wouldn't that be nice, though?
Oh, but this is another one that's hilarious.
Okay, yes.
Oh, and I love this one as well because one of my friends told me about this like this week, so this is a fresh one, fresh new one. She said a guy told her that he thought that we can choose when we bleed in like a...
Oh, yeah, the body has ways of shutting that down.
Absolutely. But in a way that we're like, I'm going to the bathroom, so I'm just going to like go to the bathroom and then go, I'm going to bleed right now for a bit, like flush it out a bit.
Let me change that valve from urine to...
rather than peeing, I'm going to release some blood. Like it's a bladder thing. That's like, great. Oh, my uterus is full. I need to empty it. And I'm like, this is amazing. I love all of these stories so much.
Without a detailed explanation of how it works, I think that's entirely forgivable for somebody.
Oh, they're all forgivable, but it's just amazing that they have never been caught out until now.
Yes.
Right?
This is like,
fully grown adults being like, is that not how it works? Yeah.
Can I say along
what
this...
What Nokia's potato?
along this same vein, I had an ex... It's good.
Wow. So it's riveting.
We were talking once about kids and he said, you know, if I had a kid, I wouldn't buy a pram. Because anyway, that's a separate story.
Yeah.
And then we got on
to them. Time.
They could just cling onto my beard until they can walk.
And then the second thing was, I was like, you're ridiculous. And then the second thing was, if I had a kid, I would want my wife or my partner to breastfeed. And I was like, that's excellent. But what you don't know is that breastfeeding isn't like a horse to water. Like, you know, women.
It's not a walk in the park.
No, it's difficult. And some women and babies can't do it. Yeah. And their nipples crack and they bleed. And it's really hard sometimes. And the fact that I said this, he looked really confused. Like he never knew that it was difficult or that women can be in pain from breastfeeding. And I said, you know, these are the facts. And he said, well, in that case, you know, that's why some societies have wet nurses. And I'm like, but we're a Western society and it's 2019. Like it's not, this is not how
we grow up a little bit. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, but you know, if that's the case, you know, you can just give it to your mum. And I was like,
Oh no.
As in you can just turn on the ability to breastfeed whenever you feel
How
like it.
How many women had he slept with?
And I was like, wait.
I don't want to breastfeed with you today.
I was like, wait. No. Do you know women don't have the ability to lactate all the time? Like you need to be pregnant or recently pregnant to be able to lactate. Oh, you like not every you can't just give it to your mum. And she's like, no worries babe, I'll just breastfeed the child for you.
What a conversation as well. I'm a bit out, could you just top me up?
And he was he swear to God didn't believe me and had to Google it.
Okay, I mean that is weird. I will say there are...
That was my first red flag.
I just want to like,
only one.
You needed more.
just in case people are listening to this who are having trouble breastfeeding, there are services where people who are currently lactating but for one reason or another don't have a child to feed, they donate breast milk and for people
Do
who
they?
Can't breastfeed.
Oh,
because,
insane.
Again, immune systems and whatever can't be delivered through.
There's no formula. Judgment because, this is probably personal information that I'm not allowed to share, but I'm going to share it. My sister couldn't breastfeed, so that's why I know firsthand that it's not easy, and she had difficulty with both children. So, and she with her first child was very self-conscious about the fact that she couldn't breastfeed, and she, you know, obviously had formula and stuff, but by the second child she was like, it's not working, I'm just gonna bottle feed. And people have so much judgment about that. It's like the kid's not gonna die. It's like if you feed a kid a carnivorous diet or a vegan diet. They're still going to be happy, healthy babies as long as they're being fed.
What a nudge.
Don't be like that. Don't
if
be like that.
If they're getting the right nutrients,
then it's all fucking thing, fine. Right? You know what I mean? Like, breast milk is fine if you want to do that.
Giving them mac and cheese, it's not a great
No. But you know what I mean? It's like no baby's going to die just because you're giving them formula or a slightly different diet.
But it's not about death or not. I mean, you know, you can... Not dying is a bad marker for health, because
I mean,
you can do a
sure.
lot of crazy things and not die from them, and that doesn't mean that you're living
I mean,
a
as
healthy
a pessimist,
lifestyle in any way.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but still there's many happy, healthy babies who have slightly different diets or whatever. And they're still, just because Joe down the street doesn't have the same diet as Joanne doesn't mean that one's better than the other or one's healthier than the other.
No, and evaluating them between each other is not the right way to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, like, back to my uterus rant, but I'm gonna get sort of in on this as well. I have gone through hell finding a contraceptive that works for me because different types of hormones are just horrible. And I've been on things since I was maybe 12 or 13.
Really? And that long?
Yeah, right. So I sort of had this moment when I was like, I've been on this for most of my life, actually the majority of my life, over 10 years. That's interesting. So I'm like, I need to look at doing something non-hormonal or just ditching them in general. And I did all my research.
Garlic.
Just wear a garlic necklace.
No. 2 full cloves of garlic every morning for breakfast.
Keeps the sperm away.
Oh, just stick one on each.
Pull out
on each.
So many things. So I was like, cool, I'm going to look into this. And the copper IUD is a completely non-hormonal thing. So I was like, cool, I'm going to go about that. And I've tried every other thing. I've tried so many different types of prescriptions of the pill, and they've all made me horrible. I've tried the bar. I've tried... by the way, the bar made me like literally have a permanent period for 6 months.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine?
Wow.
And
how
I
did you
still
put up
had
with
my
it for
sanity
6 months?
And I didn't kill anyone. So that's
congratulations.
Amazing.
I mean, round of applause.
No, so like it kind of like I don't know all the scientific terms, but like the lazy man's description to me was your body's flipped into the reverse sense of, oh, we bleed all the time and we spend the 4 days not bleeding. Cool?
Wow.
Is that cool with you? Because it's cool with me.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so not cool with anybody.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, I mean,
really?
It happened to me.
It's very common.
Oh, gosh.
With the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had one round of the bar that was fine, but the hormones were making me insane. Mm. And then the second round of the bar, the hormones were great, but then this like eternal blood of doom was a thing. And then my doctor was like, cool, so I'm going to pop you on a really low dose of the pill as well. So you're going to be on double hormones to regulate
it's fucked,
and that didn't work either, so I had to bail. So long story short, I've tried literally everything and my final resort was going a super non-hormone route, which is copper.
Okay.
It's a bit of an old school thing as well, because they always try to push you towards getting the Marina instead, which is the same device, like shape and style, but it's hormone rather than literal copper wire.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, I want this. And they're like, you sure? You should get the Marina. I'm like, nah, bitch, I'm done with hormones.
No, thank you.
I want
get
this.
That copper inside
get that
me.
Get that copper in me. I'll put it in myself. And they're like, oh, there's not many places that do it, so let's just have a bit of a look. And I was like, this is weird.
Is it just out of fashion?
It's slowly being like phased out because they're like the other methods are more reliable, and I'm like, that's fair, but also like I double wrap anyway, and
double wrap.
Well, I mean, if I have the copper in and I have a condom.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not physically 2 condoms. That's a bad idea. No one do that. So they're like, cool. We'll get you in with your doctor. She does those, and then I turn up, and she's like, oh no, I don't do the copper ones. I only do the Marina ones, and I'm like, that's the same.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Whatever. Yeah. She's like, okay, I'll book you in with a place that does it. It's actually an abortion clinic. Like the only place, oh well, yeah, super fun. The only place on the south side that was like relatively in my area that was relatively free, like booking wise, was an abortion clinic.
How about them?
Which was like, I have no issues going there, but everybody around me had issues with it, right?
Yep.
So even the doctor booking me in was a bit judgy. Yeah, but the judging gets worse, guys. So she was judgy. And then when I'm actually booking in there, even the staff there were just a bit like, are you sure you want to use our services?
Wow.
And it's like, I literally, you're doing your job and I'm buying your product. Like, I don't know. You don't want me
It's like being asked, are you sure, when you order a large fries at McDonald's?
Yeah. Like three times from three different staff members.
It's been like, fuck you, I am sure. Yeah. I'm hungry.
Get those copper fries inside me.
Yeah, right. So I turn up to this clinic and they didn't tell me until like the day, because communication is terrible. They were like, oh, we actually need to put you under for like a full anesthetic.
Wow.
And I was like, are you sure? And they're like, yep, did no one tell you? And I'm like, literally no one told me, but that's fine. So I had to
What we're going
to
do is lace you up with this with this copper wine. Yeah.
Just wrap me in literal copper, like a glad wrap, just all around. But this procedure was like drawn out in the weirdest way, in that I felt like a cast member of The Boy in Striped Pyjamas.
Oh,
because they were like, cool, go into this room, strip down to nothing, wear this awkward sack, and then sit in this other room with an uncomfortable amount of young women who no one will speak to each other, and you have no idea who's in for what.
And there's only one Reader's Digest on the table.
Oh, there's no Reader's Digest.
And you're all looking at each other to see who's going to fight for it.
But it just felt like we were cows being led to the slaughter. And the worst part about it was is that I'm like, look, even if I was here for an abortion, why is there stigma around this?
Yeah.
Like, most of the nurses were female and they were all being judgy too. And I was brought...
That's incredible.
Right? And I was brought into like three or four different rooms just to be asked mundane questions.
Can I ask, are you sure they were being judgy, or was that kind of mandated language and behavior to let you know that this is the place that you're going? Like, because it is an abortion clinic, that they have to kind of go, okay, so just to be sure, this is where we are and this is what we're doing here. And of course that sounds judgy, especially when it's done officially and there's no kind of emotion behind it.
Or
was it kind of...
Well, my counter argument is that I've had a breast reduction, which is an opt-in surgery, and it's a very hectic surgery. But that was treated just as seriously, but in a much nicer professional demeanor. Yeah. And, you know, they on the day of that surgery, I had to answer the same questions 50 times so I don't, you know, come out the other side with an amputated leg and they're like, oh, that's not what you wanted? Oh, no. So, like, that was very serious.
Well, we can still get you in later this week if you want.
We'll just do a swapperoo. But this was, like, the energy from the nurses was really passive-aggressive or really short. Yeah, right. And I – and, like, this is not the nicest attitude, but I was like, girl, I'm not even getting an abortion. But then like I had to pee.
That's so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. And I had to pee in a cup twice.
Right.
Because apparently the first cup wasn't good enough for them. So that was weird. But then I also had another conversation with a whole bunch of my friends being like, how many times have you guys peed in a cup in your lifetime? And all of the women were like, I can't remember how many. And all of the men were like, oh, once or twice.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
get checked.
It's just so and I was like, that's such a
with men it's usually a swab, not a pee in a cup thing.
Yeah, right.
My uterus is fine, penis? Gina, thank you.
Yeah.
A swab of the penis.
I mean, we get swabs but not nearly as many. But we get like, hey, any procedure, we got to check if you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you take my word for it? I haven't had sex in a while, I'm pretty sure.
I guess, yeah. But you might not know.
Well, then I would happily volunteer to pee in that cup. Yeah. But, like, it feels rude when they're like, pee in this cup, and I'm like, I am barren. And I know that I'm barren. They're like, yeah, but still. Anyway.
My
mad
thing
about
is,
peeing in cups, all right?
I've got to check this box.
I know that I'm not pregnant, but whenever anyone asks me, I'm like, what if I am? Even though I haven't had sex in like 3 months and I've had two periods between that, I'm like, what if it's survived? You know what I mean?
Like, or what if you're that one woman?
It's this Bear Grylls baby in her uterus.
Well, because I always, I think about how my sister and my brother's partner got pregnant like a month between each other and they were both on the pill. I mean, they weren't being super safe.
Mm.
But ever since then, I've been like, it could happen to anyone. Semen City,
everyone.
Their apartment was covered in semen. Really got a mop. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Oh, gosh. I think maybe this is where we call it an episode.
But to wrap up my not abortion story, a procedure that, like, realistically, all of the actual, like, them talking to me bits, me peeing in a cup bits, and then the actual procedure, that only took about 20 minutes or half an hour. I was there for 5 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Because that's how much they drew it out. And I don't know if that's because they were, like, inundated and understaffed and, like, that whole thing, but they didn't communicate anything about us.
Was it subsidized?
I had a... I have private health, so I walked in being like, one free copper, please. Which was great.
That could also be a part of it, that they, you know, pile on all these, no, we had to do this and this and this, and it's become a bit of a...
Yeah, it was just such a lengthy, drawn-out, like, I feel like one of these rooms is going to be a gas chamber and I'm going to die in it. Like,
that's incredible.
It was so harrowing.
That was the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere was horrible. And I'm like, well, I know that I'm here to get protected and I'm being judged. And I even had one of the doctors be like, I'm not giving you the 10-year one because, you know, you'll want kids. And I was like, but what if I want the 10-year one? Do you guys, like, have it in stock? Like, that feels strange to us.
What's the other one?
It's 5 years or 10 years.
Okay, yeah,
for the copper. But she just looked me up and down, looked at my age, and was just like, no, I'm only giving you the 5-year one. And it was just at this point I was like, I can't argue with you because I've already had this weird conversation with 7 other nurses.
That's really
fucked.
And I just,
right? That's what I thought.
That's your fucking choice.
That's my choice. And she was like, no.
See you in 5 years.
You'll want that baby soon.
Right.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No, I don't love the attitude that I will randomly become maternal one day because I know in my heart I only want dogs.
I am.
But.
That's going to make an excellent video.
What if, just hear me out.
Uh-oh. I become maternal.
You want a baby. What if?
Whoa. Then I have to do what I already have to do, which is I have to get it taken out.
Wow. What? That's an option?
Who knew? It doesn't die in there. Like, it has
is
to
Is no one teaching
out.
The doctors?
Right? So, yeah, literally it's the same device. It just, like, has a different sort of lifespan on it.
Right.
Mm. And either way, if I want to have a kid, if
you
I want to get
it
pregnant,
out.
It has to be surgically taken out.
Yeah.
And even then, when it runs out of life, it has to be either replaced or it has to be taken out. You can't just leave it up there. That's stressful.
You mean it's not absorbed into the body?
Maybe in Gina's body where the Bear Grylls baby needs to eat anything to survive.
Can I just say, because you said before about hormonal contraception and how it didn't work for you, and I think that's a very valid thing. I had a friend in uni who was on the pill and then she came off it. And she was very much like, the hormones messed with my system and now that I'm off it, like, my skin is breaking out and everything bad is happening to me.
Mm.
And she was very much like, hormonal contraception is bad. And I was like, for some people, absolutely yes, but different bodies want different things.
Absolutely.
For instance,
yeah.
I went on the pill because my normal hormones were just out of fucking whack.
Mm.
And so when I went on the pill, my hormones started to level out and be chill again. So I always worry that once I get off the pill, my hormones are going to be like, hey, you know how you ruined us in ninth grade?
It's
now,
payback time,
yeah. And I remember once I was not having sex for a while, and I was like, I don't need to be on the pill. It's just, it's, you know, up. It's an expense that I don't want to fucking pay. And I started to go off it, and my body was like,
no, girl.
I was off it for about a month, and I was like, no, get it on. Give me that hormone.
See? Necessary expense. Yeah. Very necessary expense.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I had beautiful skin, but I was a beautiful psycho. So yeah. No one wants that.
Absolutely.
No one wants that.
Yeah.
But basically, I didn't love that whole experience of me being like, no, I want this for my uterus, and I know the experience, and I've been dealing with my own hormones for how long, and they're like, no.
We know
what's best for you. Oh, and I was like, excuse you. You can go fuck yourself. Yeah. But then on top of that, it's kind of like what you were saying before with the breastfeeding thing. Everybody has an opinion for you.
Mm.
Like, not just everybody has an opinion, but they have it for you. And it's like, yeah, but you haven't been in my body. You have no idea.
No, but if you take it from their perspective, I mean, if they're seeing many, many people per day.
Oh, no, but like normal people as
no,
well.
No, I understand that, but yeah. They'll get a feel for what most people are like.
Mm.
And then they'll, you know, if they're being clever about it, they'll just adopt a strategy that will cater to those most people. Mm. And yeah, it can end up, you know,
what if
being
I'm at
the
other end of the bell curve, Kay?
But they're going to but they're going to run into people like you less frequently.
Absolutely.
And so it just makes sense to know this is the procedure and whatever. If it derails from that, then we'll deal with it. But most people, you know, go with this flow, so let's just keep doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so moral of the story, men, learn what sanitary products actually do. And doctors, be nicer to people.
Everyone just be nicer
Everybody
to people. Just
be
stop
nice
being trash.
As I cry into my wine.
All right, well, I think that's us for this week. Thank you very much for joining us, Jen.
No worries.
It's always a pleasure.
That felt good to get out of our system.
Do you have anything to plug?
I just immediately thought of a parachute tampon. Oh, Gina. I was like, I don't want to plug
Gina. Always resorting to filth.
I am plugging two things.
Yeah.
I mean, technically three things, my uterus right now. But two creative things. Yeah. I am going to Woodford as an artiste.
Ooh.
Which is very exciting. So I'm running workshops pretty much every day of the festival except for the first, which is usually the day that everybody's hungover, so you wouldn't want to go anyway. Drawing with biros and markers, and just drawing whatever you goddamn want to, because drawing is for everybody. And even if you suck, I'll tell you how to do the things. But artists as well, come, because I want to like have the cool artist chats. I don't think I can sell anything though, but if you want commissions, just like hit a girl up.
What's your Instagram?
It's Gentry, just with a G.
Jen with a G.
Because that's how you spell Genevieve.
Well, we've been calling you Jen, so it could be.
That's true. Guys, Jen.
Could just be
there
Jenny.
We go. Could be anything. It's Gentry is my Instagram.
Tree as in the tree of life.
Yes, that's literally my name. I know, it's weird. Or itsgentry.com is my website, because I'm one of those fancy people with a website.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So that's
did
at Woodford.
Did you get in early and get milk.com?
I got my own one. Didn't have to find anybody for it. I love it when they're always like, do you want maybe It's Gentry... like -01, and I'm like, no one wants that.
Give me the real one.
Yeah. So I'm doing Woodford, and I'm also doing Brisbane Immersive Ensemble's Speakeasy for New Year's Eve, which is very exciting. And I mean, it's basically what the people want. It's a roaring 20s party for the start of the 20s.
Mm. Mm. Terrific. Oh yes, it is too.
Right.
Yes.
And I've had
everyone's
got to
learn to Charleston.
Mm, everybody does.
Real quick.
So, yeah, it's all...
drink while you can, guys.
Now you got to bring back the cocaine.
So, absolutely. So, as the company always does, it's, like, fully immersive. All the characters are completely, you know, under the spell. And it's also set at Baedeker, where they've turned it into the top sort of section is a bakery, and you have to say the right password to the baker.
That's terrific.
To then be let down. It's really cool.
That's so awesome.
So, you know, if you don't turn up with the right password, you will literally be turned away.
You might get some bread.
Maybe. Keyword is maybe.
Je veux très un
croissant. And I with three other girls, so four of us are the showgirls, doing various obnoxious Charleston-y things throughout the night. And there's like an interwoven like narrative in there as well. But it's just a good like brassy night of vintage music.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and it's authentic and stuff. We can't talk about our phones, and if we see you whip out your phones, we're like, what is this newfangled technology? So it's great.
Oh, I like it.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, I have to get fit for it though. Oh, so that's sad. But the rest of it is fun. So then the plug-in things.
Delicious.
Delish.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Gentry.
No worries.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you. And Zane C. Weber. Beautiful as always.
Mm.
Thank you very much, Tina.
And of course, if you want to hear more from us, well, you can't. See us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I love you, Sophie. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's talk about ex, baby.
Ah, crappy relationships, the bane of our collective existence. But what do we learn from our mistakes?
I'm relationship columnist Liz Best.
And I'm funny guy Tom Harris.
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past will chat to guests about love gone wrong and take you on a journey through the funny, tragic, horrifying...
And sometimes just plain bonkers stories about that crazy little thing called love. It's like a group therapy session.
With two people completely unqualified to be leading it. New episodes drop fortnightly on Thursday, so join in to hear tales of heartbreak and woe and hopefully wind up a little wiser or drunker for it.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Get great car cover at a great price. Plus €30 in rewards. Search SuperValue Insurance now. €30 in rewards includes two €10 of €40 spend vouchers and €10 of real rewards points. This car insurance is underwritten by AXA Insurance DAC. SuperValue Financial Services DAC trading as SuperValue Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Great value. Great car cover. Great rewards. SuperValue Insurance has it all. Search SuperValue Insurance now. Rewards include two €10 of €40 spend vouchers and €10 of real rewards points. This car insurance is underwritten by AXA Insurance DAC. SuperValue Financial Services DAC trading as SuperValue Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.